This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in on a Monday. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're getting situated. We're always live. I don't care. Computer update. Whatever. That was an ad, Anthony. Love PC gaming? Nope. This is a work computer. Get out of here, ad. What are you doing? Anthony, I think I've also decided that after a month of experimenting, I don't like you on the right side of the screen on YouTube. Or on the left
side
of the screen. I think I'm going to put you back where you belong. On the other side. I don't know. It messes with me. I can't do it. Can't do it. Can't win with them. What else did, what's his face say? Mike Singletary? You even know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about Mike Singletary, the linebacker?
Yeah, when he was the coach of the 49ers. 49ers. Yeah.
I think I do.
There was a player... Now I'm trying to remember who the player was. Oh, man. Also, why am I... Now that the show's starting, now I want to cough?
I don't know. There you go. Drink up.
Who was the player? This is going to drive me bananas.
Cam went with him.
But that's what it was. He was like... He said... Oh, you want to know who it was? It was Vernon. It was Vernon Davis, young Vernon Davis. Early on in Vernon's career, he like did something Mike didn't like, didn't run a right route or, you know, wouldn't block or wouldn't whatever. And he sent him to the locker room in the middle of the game. And it was like, and that's about it. I was like, can't win with him. And it was like a whole attitude thing. So, yeah. All right, Anthony. In the count of three, we're going to switch places. Ready? One, two, three. Bang. Now
I look cool.
Back. Yeah. Now it looks. Even though now when I look at Anthony, it looks like I'm looking off screen the other way. It's just most of the time I look right at the camera.
So I'm looking right at you, sir.
We're all set on that. Believe it or not, this is not how we're going to spend most of the show today. We're going to spend most of it talking about the Kevin Willard situation, including with the man who broke the story overnight on Sunday, Jeff Ehrman of Inside Maryland, 24/7 Sports. Anthony, by the way, welcome back. You are back. You were on a boat somewhere in Jamaica and on the beach somewhere in Jamaica. I was running around the convention center this weekend. We'll compare notes on our weekends later on in the show. There's one other thing I was going to say off the top here. Anything else important that I need to note, Anthony? Adam Peters spoke today. We'll talk about that. 5:30.
I think that's all.
Okay. Ehrman's joining us.
Wizards play. Ovechkin's five goes away.
He is. Locker's back in the booth.
Yeah.
Love that. This is the worst 5 minutes to open a show that I've ever had in the history. Oh, I remember what the thing was. We have a new hour opener, Anthony.
Ooh.
I made a new one. There's a couple more that are coming too. I finally got the multi-track set up. So top of next hour, went deep in the archive. One that Anthony had pulled for me to make an hour opener out of last year during the football season.
Really?
Yeah. And I got that one. So we'll top 5 o'clock hour. New funny business to the show is coming up. So I've now yapped for too long, Anthony, and I can't do the full Willard take right now. So I will simply ask you, you come back. I actually think you're a really interesting person to ask considering the week that you have as I knock over equipment in the studio. Like, when you left last week, it seems like Maryland fans, because so you left, your last show was Wednesday?
My last show was Tuesday.
How would you say Maryland fans felt on Tuesday about Kevin Willard and what he was doing?
So I would say, so I actually know people that are at Maryland that cover the team. I know, you know, high school basketball media that also are like super fans of the team. And they wanted Willard back, but there was strong sentiments that, you know, he would be moving on. And they were hearing about, you know, Nova. And I'm in the chat. No, he's not leaving. No, he's staying. But everybody else is like, you know, he's leaving. So I think a decent amount of, if you're close to the situation, maybe you felt a different way. But I think Maryland fans as a whole probably are going to be sad because he turned the program around.
Well,
in 2 years.
But that's different than what I asked you, right? It's not about, like, how do they feel now? I know how they feel now.
Yeah.
Everyone's pissed beyond hell. And I think I understand it a little bit more. And I think there's been some new stuff that's come out over the weekend that maybe changes a little bit of how I feel about it, although not much, to be honest. I think of this as a dirty game that he played, and he's doing some semantic stuff, and we'll get into it all in a few minutes here. But I feel like when you left on Tuesday, I think of our chat with Sheehan last Monday, where he's like, I like that Kevin came out and did this stuff. And then he goes on Kevin's show, and it seems like things are pretty good. Kevin Sheehan likes that Kevin Willard is doing the stuff, saying the things in the public to try to move the program forward. And then he goes on, Kevin Willard goes on Kevin Sheehan's show. Why do they have to both be bald white men named Kevin? For this particular story, that is annoying because I need someone to have a different name.
I think they just call Sheehan Sheehan.
They can still be bald and white and men of a certain age. They can't both be named Kevin. So Willard goes on Sheehan's show. Things seem hunky-dory. And then you leave. And Anthony, this is all your fault because that's when all hell broke loose.
Man.
That's when, like, in the time that, like, when you left, I feel like Maryland fans were like, this is going to help push the program forward and he's going to stay. And then when you got back and he was gone and they hate his guts.
Yeah, I caught one of it while I was in the airport because I knew nothing, you know, going on back here. I didn't know anything about
unplugged
the Commanders
on island
the
time.
The Terps. I was completely unplugged. So Sunday, as I'm waiting in the airport, I'm like, all right, let me just, you know, I guess get ahead on work. I work tomorrow. First thing I see, Willard to Nova. I'm, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So that was a nice, you know, welcome back, you know, to work.
Yeah. So the big question I want to try to tackle next is, did he lie about it? Because I think this is kind of at the core of the anger of a lot of Maryland fans. And I read a ton of stuff earlier today. I read TikToks, which is what a news story with a timeline is called, not the thing on the app on your phone. I haven't watched any TikToks on my phone, on the app. About Kevin Willard. I've read articles with timelines, also known as the business as TikToks, of how it all went down. I have read other reporting around it. And I have three main lies that I think Maryland fans are accusing Kevin Willard of. And I want to see how many of them are lies actually next based off what I know. And then I'm going to ask at 5 o'clock, Jeff Ehrman, from Inside Maryland, the number one Terps insider about them. So that's how we set up. We'll take your calls in between at 301-230-0980 here on the team 980. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. So Kevin Willard has left Villanova Kevin Willard has left Maryland for Villanova. And there are, I think, three sentiments, if you will, that Maryland fans are really, really mad about, Anthony. And I've listed them out in the rundown in my notes here. And I want to parse out whether or not these things are true or not. And if they are, like, how significant are they? So, are you ready to join me on this exercise?
Let's get it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your clear intent to participate. Okay. I think the first big one, and this is the one I actually understand the most being pretty thoroughly pissed about if I was a Maryland fan, alum, booster, donor, whatever. If I get what I want, I'll stay. Right? And this is where Willard publicly made his case for the university. To kind of go against the power and say, like, I'm going to use this moment and this leverage to try to get more for the program. And he's like, we need more money, we need more resources, more staffing, more all of these things. And according to Jeff Ehrman and others, again, Jeff will join us at 5 o'clock, Maryland administrators met with him and were ready to give him those things. The reporting says, like, more staff, more resources. He was going to have the biggest percent share of any men's basketball program in the Big Ten of revenue. So Ohio State, all those programs that have all this money percentage-wise of his school's budget, he was allegedly going to have a higher percent than anybody else in the conference, which would make sense for Maryland, who is a basketball school in a football conference. That, hey, let's be great at the thing that our fans, our alums want to be great at. Let's put money into men's basketball. Brenda Free is doing a great job with the women's program, but we need the men's program to get there. So let's put some more money into it. And apparently, he still said, "I'm good. I'm out of here." He also was going to get more money personally in his contract because, of course, that's how those things work. But the one thing that he doesn't have here, and this is where I think the question comes down to, like, is this a big lie, little lie, is he still didn't have a boss. Like, he still didn't have an athletic director. And where I think I come down on it is he lied about this. If he distinctly said, if I get these things, I will stay. I don't know that he ever actually said that, like, A to B. He said the conversations are good. You know, as of now, I'm staying. Like, there's a lot of, and I understand, look, a lot of this is semantics. And if you're, like, emotionally enraged as a Terps fan, then you don't want to hear a thing about semantics. But I think Maryland getting him those things made him, like, really call the bluff, if you will. Right? Where ultimately, what I think this comes down to is at Villanova, he doesn't have to compete with football. It's got a better basketball track record, certainly in the last 25 years. And he knows who his boss is going to be as the athletic director, where Damon Evans just left for SMU, and they don't know how quickly they're going to get another person in place. So he got more resources, he got more money, he got all the things, except for he didn't get a boss and stability. And in that way, I think this is a lie, but I also don't blame him for it, if that makes sense, because I would want to know who my boss is before accepting a job.
Yeah, I mean, the timing for me is what gets me. I mean, I guess also, like, the portal's opening, so you got to, you know, get into the portal. You got to make sure, you know, things are aligned. And I guess, like, him leaving for Villanova granted him and allow him to, you know, that kind of stuff. But at the same token, it's just, I don't think people really like how quick he was to, you know, move on. But this was a fluid, you know, situation. So, like, he had to, like, make a decision. And ultimately, he probably just made the decision that was going to be best for him. And also, I think at Nova.
Of course he did. That part, I think, is not up for contest. Like, he made the decision he thought was best for him and his family. The question is, like, what damage did he do along the way, right? And here's where I actually wonder, and this is one of the questions that I've written down for Jeff, is like, this episode clearly stinks. And it stinks for the program and the fans who just wanted to enjoy this last week. And the timing is weird. I mean, the incident, why is the portal open? Open the portal 2 weeks after the season so you can have, like, this is so stupid. There's other sports where this happens. I'm just like, why is the free agency, why is this happening? Why are these negotiations happening? Like, let people focus on, and it's just, like, the NFL, there's like a month and a half between the end of the season. And I realize for college kids, it's a little bit different because, like, the semester's ending. But it's not ending that quickly. Anyway, I actually wonder if long-term this could be good because the next coach can come in and be like, hey, like, I still want that stuff. Like, you guys are ready to commit it there. I don't think you're not. I want it too. And I'll take the program even farther than he did, and I won't be a weasel, to use the term of the week to describe Kevin Willard. The second one, though, is one that I also want to ask Ehrman about, but, like, to this point, I don't know that this is true. This idea that he lied to the team. I don't know that we have any evidence of that. I have not read that anywhere. Like, I think we all, as human beings in human nature, we all put our own perspectives into situations that don't involve us. Because our perspective is the only one that we have. Right, we've never lived as somebody else. I've never lived in your shoes, Anthony. You've never lived in mine. So if you're going through something that feels familiar to me, all I can do really is, or what my first instinct, I should say, is to put myself in that situation and tell you what I would do. Right? That's human. With that said, I think we could probably do a little bit better in trying to see things from other people's perspectives and have a little bit more empathy. And I mean empathy in the truest sense of the word, like trying to see it from someone else's point of view. And on this one, I don't mean that just from Willard's side. I mean that from the student side. Half these kids transferred in. They've moved schools. The rest of it, like Derek Queen, he told us why he went to Maryland. Because he got paid. Like, he knows who the bag man is. Bag man was Willard. What's he going to do? Get mad at his coach for going to get his own bag? Hell no. And so I think that those of us that went to school in a different time wind up applying our sensibilities to how the kids feel, where the kids are like, this is the way it is. They've grown up watching it. This is the whole experience of which they've lived. If they have a good season and have a chance to go to a bigger school, they would do the same thing. But that's not how fans operate. And so there's this assumption that he lied to the kids and that the kids were hurt by this. I don't know that that is true. I'm not saying I know that it's not true. That's very different. But I have not read anywhere in the reporting that that is true. And it would not surprise me if Willard was just like, yo, guys, here's the situation. I know there's other stuff floating out there. I'm going to deal with it after the season. For right now, I'm focused on you. And maybe he was able to do that successfully. Maybe he wasn't. But that was clearly what he was trying to do, which brings us to the third one, which is this is the semantics goof that anybody who's been through a job search, I think, can empathize with. And this is uncomfortable, but it's just how it goes. Oh, I haven't talked to my family about it. That doesn't mean they didn't mention it to each other. Like, I heard Naki on Doc's show yesterday saying, like, his family was there the whole time. There's no way it didn't come up in the hotel room. I bet you it probably came up like this. Yeah, my agent's calling about this Villanova thing. Like, there's definitely, like, we're going to have to talk about it when the tournament's over. Okay, we'll talk about it as a family when the tournament's over. And then they talk about it for 2 hours after the tournament's over. The discussion's quick. It's not like it has to be a bunch of stuff. Hey, well, are they giving you what you want? Yeah. More money? Yeah. Do you want to live in Philadelphia? Yeah. Or whatever the reasons were. Like, it doesn't have to be this big drawn out thing. You just, we haven't had the conversation yet. We know we've had a conversation about having a conversation. Technically, he's not lying. He hasn't had the conversation yet. But you haven't done it until you did the other thing, which was finish the tournament. So, all in all, do they probably know deep down inside that he was actually leaving in all the along all the timelines that everyone is reporting on and saying, oh, he's been talking to Villanova for weeks. Yeah, I'm sure his agent had it all set up. I'm sure his agent on some level kept him abreast. Did he like really engage with that information till the bitter end? I don't know, but it's possible he didn't. And then when he did, he made a fairly quick and easy decision, which is what his agent's job is to get that set up. But he could have always bucked it. And that responsibility is on Willard, right? If he truly thought Maryland was the place to be, he could have said like, hey, thanks for all your work on the Villanova thing, but like, I'm good, dog. We're staying here. Thanks for getting me the leverage so I can get a little more cash out of it and get the program in a better place. But in reading some of the stuff, I definitely get why Maryland fans are mad at some of it a little bit more. But I still think if I'm a Terps fan, my ire is far more on the university and the status of our basketball program and where it stands in the nation currently than it is on Kevin Willard for doing, by the way, the exact same thing Kevin Willard did to Seton Hall and kind of acting like college basketball coaches do. And it's messy and it's nasty and it's not good for the business overall, but this is how business gets done. And unfortunately, instead of, you know, the smoothest operators and nobody leaking or your job search out there that's not even in the public eye, this stuff is all reported on constantly and some people can't help themselves. And thus we get the messiness of the last 2 weeks, which undoubtedly took away, Anthony, I think, from some of the fun of the Sweet 16 run for a lot of fans.
Yeah, like a lot of fans didn't even have, you know, a chance to like soak it all in kind of thing. So the fact all of this happened in while I was don't blame me, Craig.
Why not? Why can't we blame Anthony?
I think it's just coincidence.
Up next, is it Anthony's fault? 301-230-0980. And your actual thoughts on the Willard situation, but mostly, is it Anthony's fault? Next. 301-230-0980 is our phone number. You can get in. Now that the deed is done, Kevin Willard is gone from Maryland to Villanova. You can give us a call. Let us know your thoughts. 301-230-0980. Thoughts been flowing in on the stations throughout the day. We got Chris Nockey yesterday on with Doc. That I think this is the way a lot of Maryland fans feel about this. And I don't know that it's entirely wrong to characterize this way. But I thought this was great because I think Coach captures the way that things feel right now in College Park.
I don't know where to start with this. I mean, it just over the last 10 days, all of it feels calculated and orchestrated. And on the one hand, Doc, I was actually in the press room when he said that about, you know, I'm just going through it. I haven't talked to my agent, haven't talked to my wife, my family. And then, you know, I get on the planes going to Seattle and going to San Francisco and coming home from San Francisco. And his wife and kids were there the whole time. I mean, it sort of defies logic to think that it wasn't discussed at all in the hotel room.
Right.
It was so poorly handled by him. And the worst part about it, Doc, is to me, the program hadn't been to a Sweet 16 in 10 years. And this is an opportunity. This is when this group should be dancing in the streets. When you win two games in Seattle, you're also the Derek Queen thing. You're the most talked about program in the country for that because of the way that game ended, because of Queen, you know, this personality. And he stole that. He stole that. I don't know any other way to put it. He stole that. And that's really infuriating when you think about it like that. A program that is used to a level of success finally gets back there. And he deserves some props for being a huge part of that. No question about it. But at the end of the day, runs away like a thief in the night, really. He took that away from Maryland fans. And for that, I mean, it's hard to look at it any other way for me.
I totally get that. I think there's a couple of interesting things. You know, we talked in the last segment about the idea that his wife and kids were there the whole time, that they hadn't talked about it. Like, I think on some level that's semantics. You say, hey, we'll have the conversation after this team is done. When we got to make a decision, we will. And then you have that decision. You have that discussion. It doesn't take that long. You know, the day after, 2 days after the season. And then next thing you know, you're off to Villanova. Okay, these things happen quickly because they happen in slow motion until the end. And then the end has already been, I won't say preordained, but it's been set up. Do you walk to door number one or walk back through door number two back to where you were? And that's kind of what happened in this situation. I also think that there is in that, and I'm not trying to like parse Chris's words here or anything like that. I just think there's an interesting revelation about the state of Maryland basketball. That is, if I'm a Terps fan, a larger like, oh man, I don't love this. Which is, Chris talks about, you know, this is the farthest the program's been in 10 years. This is a moment to celebrate. You should have been dancing in the streets. And I'm like, over a Sweet 16? Anthony, I'll ask you real quick. Because we share an alma mater that was once good at basketball and isn't good anymore. If Syracuse gets back to a Sweet 16, how excited are you over that?
Not too excited.
Yeah, same. I'm like, good, this is where you should be competing for every year. Realistically, are you going to make it every year? No, of course not. You're not Duke. You're not Michigan State. You're not premier program. But if you're the next tier down, like, we should be in the Sweet 16 on a regular basis. Like, you should be a top four seed, and that means you should not be getting upset all the time. Like, at least two every 5 years? At least? And if you really hopefully get some top flight recruits every once in a while, you can be even better than that, which is where Syracuse was when I was in school. It's where I know Maryland fans were for a long, long, long time. Like, you were always sitting on that 2-3-4 line. You're going to the Sweet 16 on the regular. That's where you want to be, right? So is Sweet 16 really something to be celebrating? And I guess when you haven't been there in a while, it's good to have fresh perspective. And like, look, hate to say it, but if it's 2016 and 03 are the last two appearances, the kids that are at Maryland right now, they don't remember Steve Blake. Steve Blake is out there like, hey, I want to be the coach of the team. And some of these kids are probably like, who's Steve Blake? Which I hate, because that makes me feel real old. Anthony, that might make you feel old.
It does.
Yeah. But like, kids these days. But like, literally, the kids in school right now. I mean, you work with high school kids. What year were the kids that are graduating this year born?
07.
Yeah.
07?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess Blake was done. And this went Grievous, you know, he burst into the scene at Maryland. Like,
that's that era. Like, Grievous versus J.J. Redick is like 04, 05 in that range?
Yeah.
So the seniors at Maryland right now might have not seen Steve Blake play. Like, as they were being held as babies, unconscious, basically, in their parents' arms, did not see. They were not alive for Steve Blake. So, it's been a long time. But that is where Maryland wants to be. And so, my actual hope in all of this is that even though this situation has... I guess I put it like this. My hope is that in all of this, even though this has been painful and it really sucks for the kids that were going through this and the fans that wanted to have a better experience through, for better or worse, what is the best run they've had in a decade, my hope is that this pushes the program forward. That even though Willard leaves, that the next coach can come in and say, hey, I want those things too, and then they can make another Sweet 16 next year. And then, who knows, maybe 2 years from now they take a dip, but a year after that, they're back in the Sweet 16. Or at the very least, they're on the 3-4 line, maybe even pushing the 2 line to try to be where they want to be again. That they're a school that takes the resources of the Big Ten, like was promised when they changed conferences, and make the most of it. That their basketball program, the one that the fan base and the alumni base cares the most about, benefits from this, even though this has been a painful way of getting potentially to that end game. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. We got a couple calls on deck, and we will get to them after we tell you what's trending. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We'll get the latest and the inside report, the inside scoop on Kevin Willard's departure from Maryland from Jeff Ehrman coming up at the top of the hour. But right now we're taking your calls on it, 301-230-0980. Let's get things started with Matthew. Matthew, thanks for holding through the break, man. Appreciate it. What you got on Willard and how this all went down?
Sure, of course. Thanks for taking the call. I want to kind of address something you said. You said that people should be expecting Sweet 16s and we shouldn't get excited about it. I got to tell you, first, we haven't had one in a while, and only 16 teams get to do it every year. So fan bases should always be excited about making a Sweet 16. And more specifically in this case, the reason why what Willard did was a problem is because Maryland makes it to a Sweet 16. They do so in an exciting last-second fashion on an incredible play by their star, and all of that is erased by the way Willard handled it. It's not that he went to Villanova, and it's not that he jumped ship, and it's not that he did his own NIL, which gets kids do in college. It's perfectly fine. It's the way he handled it, and it absolutely took away from the experience that kids could have had and the us fan base could have had.
So I would say two things, Matt, because I think these are fair points and fair questions. One, I would say expect Sweet 16s every year is different than, like, be excited about one every 10 years. Like, that one every 10 years is not the caliber of program Maryland wants to be. They want to be in it, you know, 4 to 5 times every 10 years. Is that a fair assessment of, like, how Maryland thinks of itself as a basketball program or how fans think of what they want in the basketball program?
100%, and that's how we were with Gary Williams, for example, and in our history, but we're not there now. So,
and that's kind of my point, right? Is that it's not that this group shouldn't have been excited or that fans shouldn't be excited. It's just like, if this is now cause for celebration in the streets, that means Maryland is not what it used to be, and that should be a wake-up call for Maryland. That's my only point on that. My other question to you is this, and this is the part that I struggle with, because I agree with you. Clearly, this was not optimal in the way that Willard handled this, but what does optimal look like here? Because I don't know that there's a clean way to handle this. And that might just be the unfortunate reality of where the messiness of college sports and how the timelines and the contracts go meets good reporting and people talking to agents. And, you know, Villanova's got to cooperate, because how do we know that, you know, I mean, I guess I'm not going to ask Jeff who his sources were, because that's incredibly unprofessional. But there was a lot of reporting on this from the Maryland side, but from the national side, the national reporters certainly have sources at Villanova too. So, like, I don't know, like, what that would be my question, right? For a Maryland fan, what does optimal look like in a way that this story is developing, just because that's how it works in the background, that doesn't ruin the tournament?
It's super easy. This is the easiest thing to handle in the universe, and I don't know why this wasn't a layup for him. Hey, I'm going to deal with where I'm going to be coaching after the season is over. I appreciate the question, but I'm focused on my team. Right now, we got to prepare for Florida after our team did this incredible job. Did you see that play? Our team is awesome. Florida's got this tough, strong, athletic team that we've really got to prepare for. Totally pivots the question to the case at hand and deflects actually answering the question by bringing up the, oh, we're not getting enough money to be able to stay a night over in New York City. He's making it public about his issues with the university rather than about the kids' performance in the tournament.
So that question, though, when he did that, was before the tournament. He did that before the Grand Canyon game.
And then when it comes up during the tournament, and then when it comes up
and then he answered it the way that you asked him to. He pivoted the question towards Florida.
Not really. But
yes, really.
That's not how he handled it. No, I mean, if you think about the interviews that were being replayed, like what he did on Kevin Sheehan's show, the two bald Kevins.
Yes.
His response there was part of what fed this fire. He fed the fire and kept it going. That's the problem.
Yes. And at that point, like, he probably should have, like, unless he was planning on staying, he probably should have not done the interview with Sheehan. Like, you have to understand that not a friendly interview because Kevin's going to push you, but one that is seen as like, oh, I'm doing the Maryland thing. There is no bigger Maryland media person, with all due respect to JP, than Sheehan. Like, Sheehan has been synonymous with Maryland forever. Like, before I lived in Washington, D.C., I knew Sheehan as the Maryland guy from listening to Van Pelt nationally. So he probably shouldn't have done that. I don't think it's been optimal. But I also don't know that there is a way, because I think the if he answers it the way that you suggest all along, well, then people are like, oh, well, he's clearly not committed to staying. Like, it always sounds better than it plays out in reality, and it's impossible to make everyone happy.
Yeah, but I'm not disagreeing. But the whole point is, then the speculation about is he leaving or not goes to the back burner, and the front burner is about preparing for Florida, celebrating the win. By having the interview and responding the way he did to Sheehan, he actually made it the front burner. He made it the focus. That's the whole point. That's not even just suboptimal. That's actually detrimental.
Yeah, Matthew, I hear you, and I think I'll put it this way. We'll leave our exchange here.
I'm right.
Yes, you're 100% right, and I'm a bozo. But at least I have hair. I think we leave it. That felt mean. Sorry, Kevin Sheehan, but not to Kevin Willard. See, Maryland fans, I got your back. I think that your way is probably better, easier, and smoother, and there are less people mad today. I don't think it makes everyone happy, and because I don't think that with the reality, like, I think the only way that quote unquote everyone's happy is if this news never comes out during, which Willard is, by the way, not in control of, because his agent, and maybe you could say he's in control of his agent, but then you still have all the people at Villanova and all the people at Maryland. By the way, I think that's something that's worth pointing out too, like, having reported on stories like this, sometimes when people tell you information, the first thing you should think of is, why does this person want me to know this thing? And I think there's people at Maryland that knew that he was probably leaving, that they weren't going to be able to appease whatever it is that he wanted, for better or for worse, and that they put it out there so that people got pissed at him, and they're not pissed at the university. Like, that, and by the way, if that's what they did, good job to those people, because it worked. But then whose fault is it? But I would say then whose fault is it that the run got ruined for the kids and the fans?
And it comes back to this. It's Willard who did that, because all of that is in the background. Nobody really likes the administration at Maryland with what they're doing with their athletics. By you know, they don't have an athletic director now. Now they don't have a head coach for the basketball team. It looks like they are nickel and diming everyone. Nevertheless, that's back burner. He made it a front page. And I want to address one thing you just said. It's not about making everyone happy. It's about making the base happy. It's about making the 80% happy. If 20% are going to be upset, 20% are going to be upset. But right now, 80% are upset. That's where he failed. I really love your show. I'm going to let you go because I know you have other callers. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Matthew,
and thank you, Anthony. You're the best.
Yeah. Thanks, Matthew. Anthony is the best. We approve this message. Really appreciate the call. I think, like, I appreciate that exchange because I think it captures kind of both sides here, and that we're existing in a gray area. No one's going to be happy. We're talking about percentages, and we're also talking about things that maybe can't be controlled by the person that is getting the blunt of the vitriol here. There is no doubt that Kevin Willard was unprepared on how to handle this situation. He could have handled it better. He could have engendered less vitriol toward him, and thus less anger around the last couple weeks of Maryland basketball, which should have been far more joyous. But I also think that there is an undeniable nature of the facts as they were, which largely exist in a larger context of college basketball and the messiness that is, that made this a no-win situation for Willard, that he then made, you know, if you play this out 10 times and do it 10 different ways, this is the third or fourth worst of those, maybe the second worst of those, where there was a lot of other ways to potentially not make everyone mad like he seemingly has. So how did all this go down? Let's peel the curtain back as much as Jeff Ehrman will let us. Jeff Ehrman, Inside Maryland, he is the number one Terps insider out there, and he joins us next.